OLTU.com, the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 207 of Shutters Inc. Sorry for the long delay. There's a reason behind that. When I started podcasting, 7 years ago, I made a kind of a promise to myself that if I had nothing to say, I should not podcast. I took the attitude that people's time is way too valuable, and that if there was nothing to say, then don't put out a podcast just for the sake of putting out a podcast, because, you know, you probably drive your listeners away because you're just rambling on with crap. And I kind of felt like a couple of episodes post episode 200 fell into that category a little bit. And so I thought, okay, as a listener, I would rather get a show less frequently, but know that there was something worth listening to, than to get a show on a regular basis and find that most of it was just dribble. So that was the reason. I probably should have, spoken up and said why I wasn't doing an episode every week. But that was just the way I felt. I thought, nah, until I've got something to say, I just won't create another episode. So now I'm back. So what have I got to talk about? Well, a couple of things. A few people have been back in touch regarding the whole colorcast issue on neutral density filters, and in particular the stronger neutral density filters. Andrew Cooper from the UK sent me a great PDF, which I'm not sure how he managed to capture that. Andrew, did you grab that from their website? I don't know. Actually, I don't even know what magazine it was from. But basically, it was a magazine article which talked about the different neutral density filters, and these were the big 10-stop type filters, and basically reviewed all of them. There was the Lee Big Stopper, an LCW, which is a brand I've not heard of. The thing about the Lee Big Stopper is it is a plate filter, so it goes into a bracket like your Coke and Peace series type filters. The LCW ND500 is a screw-in type filter. The B&W ND3, which was another screw-in type, so a circular one, and the Hoya MC ND400, again, a circular screw-in type. So the Lee was the only one of the four that was a plate type filter that mounted in a bracket. Very interesting to read this article was the fact that all of the filters introduce some kind of color cast. So I found that very interesting. I just thought, oh, maybe the one I'd bought was defective, or, you know, El Cheapo or something, even though it wasn't a particularly cheap filter. But no, it appears that all of them have some sort of a color cast, and some tend to veer towards being a little bit warmer, and some of them veer towards being a little bit cooler. And from the article that Andrew sent me, it appeared that none of the filters are neutral in their color. All of them require, you know, at least a little bit of a tweak to the color or the white balance of the image after the fact. I guess, you know, if you bought a particular neutral density filter and you were aware that it had a leaning to one side or the other, I guess you could compensate for that at the time of shooting with your white balance, once you had become familiar with just, you know, how far it leans in one direction towards warm or cool or whatever. So that's something I'm just going to have to experiment with. One thing that did come up a few days ago, again related to the whole story of neutral density filters, I had some quiet time at work and was surfing YouTube, as you do, and I came across a video. Don't you love the right hand side of YouTube with the suggested videos that, you know, based on stuff you've looked at before? So what popped up there was a short 8-9 minute video of Scott Kelby talking about shooting with neutral density filters, you know, and, you know, 9-10 stop filters at that, for shooting long exposures outdoors in the middle of the day. And one of the things he said, and I cannot believe I did not think of this. One of the things he said, you know, is make sure you cover up the viewfinder while you are exposing. And I was like, man, that is so obvious. How did I not think of that? So, because a couple of the images that I did take in daylight hours with the 10-stop filter, I sort of thought, that all looks a bit flary. And as soon as I saw that video on YouTube, I thought, oh, you idiot. That would be exactly what you were experiencing. So, again, more experiments to be done. Now, as it happens, next week there will definitely not be an episode because I will be up on Hayman Island again for 5 days. It is ARN, the Australian Radio Network, the mob I work for. It's their sound business plan. Junket, for want of a better word, again. I shouldn't call it a junket. Everyone at work accuses me of going on a junket. But you actually work your butt off. So I'm up there doing the photos and the video for that. So we fly out of Sydney on Wednesday morning, get up to Hamilton Island around lunchtime, 1 o'clock. Then we catch a catamaran across to Hayman Island, which is about an hour's boat journey. And then the conference kicks off Thursday morning, and basically it's shoot photos and video all day Thursday, all day Friday, and Saturday morning, and then Saturday lunchtime I sort of go to ground for 24 hours and have to have the photo slideshow and the video presentation both ready for the closing ceremony at 2 o'clock on the Sunday afternoon. So it's a very tight turnaround. There's not much wiggle room at all. So while it seems like a junket to those who don't go, oh, you're going to Hayman Island, you know, blah, 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 and free food and free alcohol. And yeah, there is all of that, but you work for it. So yeah, so there won't be an episode next week. But hopefully while I am up there, I will get an opportunity to get out and do some more practicing with my 10-stop filter and, yeah, kind of give it a bit of a workout. I did also this week get an email from Daryl Gungadu, and he said, "Hi Bruce, I've been super busy lately, haven't listened to your Shutter Zinc podcasts, but just caught up lately to the one regarding the focus points on the Nikon D700, episode 205. The focus points are indeed centered as opposed to spread throughout the display, hence you can't really focus on something that falls on a 1/3 line. However, on both the D700 and the D800, in live view, you have an infinite amount of focus points, and it's not limited to just the 51AF areas as shown above. That's how I get around this problem. Regarding ND400 filters, I use the Hoya 77mm HMC NDX400, and I can confirm that the filter eats more the red colour than others. I, however, only really notice it when I do a sunset at the beach, if there are lots of clouds that are orange or red. Apart from that, I don't really notice it. P.S. I've been involved with the photography at the London 2012 Olympics, contracting for the Associated Press, and had a blast configuring the Nikon D4 for remote robotic shooting. More about this later on." Now, Daryl and I have been friends on Facebook for years, so I was already aware of the fact that he'd been shooting the Olympics. And, mate, I've got to say, well done. What a gig. That's awesome. Anyway, he attached a couple of images to this email, and one of them is it shows all the focus points on the Nikon screen. So if I can, I'll include that in the show notes just for anyone who's interested. I guess all the Nikon users already know what it looks like. Daryl, please do get back to us on your experience shooting the Olympics, mate. I would love to hear more about that, and I'm sure others would too. You know, what did you enjoy about it? What did you not enjoy about it? What did you do to prepare for it mentally? Because I would imagine, you know, I don't think it would matter how much experience you had as a photographer. You would have to be a little bit nervous about that, I reckon. I know I would be. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of gig. although for you it probably won't be once, you'll probably get offered it again in 4 years' time. But my point being, you know, that's the kind of thing that really would send a shiver down your spine just thinking about it in the days leading up to it. I know if I was, you know, offered a gig like that, yeah, I'd grab it with both hands, but I reckon I would be shitting myself. I really would. So I'd love to hear, you know, was there anything you did mentally to prepare yourself for that, or were you just confident going into it? I won't let the cat out of the bag as to the nice things that were left to you after the event. If you want to share that, that's up to you. But yeah, I would love to hear more about it, mate. And if you wanted to hook up on Skype and we do a two-way, I'd be more than happy to do that too. I also got a message via Facebook a couple of weeks ago from Adam Davidson down in Melbourne regarding colour shifts with, ND8 filters in his case. He said he hadn't been able to find a distributor who sold a 10-stop filter in a 52mm mount, which is obviously the size of lens that he wanted to put the filters on. So he was actually stacking two ND8s on top of each other. Now an ND8 is a 3-stop filter. For those who aren't aware, an ND2 gives you 1 stop, ND4 gives you 2 stops, ND8 gives you 3 stops. And so he was stacking two of them together. So in theory that would give you 6 stops of diffusion. And he posted to me in a private message on Facebook a link to a photo in his mobile uploads album on Facebook, which is a photograph of the 12 apostles on the Great Ocean Road in Victoria, but immediately in the foreground is the head of his tripod with a camera sitting on top of it, which I think is his new Fuji. I might be wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong, ads. And he's got his two ND8s stacked onto that particular camera body, and the camera that is taking the main photograph is his phone, which I'm assuming is his can't remember what phone you got now, Ads. I know he got an Android phone, so we love him for that. But the interesting thing is that the camera phone shows a very cool white balance of the scene of the 12 apostles and the Great Ocean Road, but the display on the back of the Fuji is quite a warm looking image. And as he said, you know, this is what happens with two ND8s stacked on top. You know, it shifts quite a bit towards the red. So, you know, just goes to back up what I was saying a minute ago, that, you know, some of these filters will tend to shift towards the red, some will tend to shift towards the blue. I'd be interested to hear if anyone has come across any particular brand of neutral density filter which is color agnostic, if you like. One that doesn't shift in either direction, and particularly in the 10-stop variety, you know, not so much the... I think the more dense they make the filter, you know, to cut out more light, so there is more of a tendency for there to be a colour shift. I'd be interested to hear if anyone's come across a 10-stop filter which doesn't shift. Over recent weeks, for a little while, I took a break from some of the post project management shoots simply because I had a whole bunch of, you know, family oriented weekends of activities that, you know, needed to I needed to be a part of. So I sort of laid low for a little while. But last weekend, I did not one but 2 post project management shoots on Sunday, and they were both very interesting. I've written the blog posts for both, but because I haven't had a chance to edit the photos yet, I haven't posted the stories behind those. One was a vampire-themed shoot, and it was great fun. It was meant to be a male and a female model, and we'd had both models lined up for probably 3 to 4 weeks. We had a long lead time simply because I had so many other things on the go that I couldn't get to them. So we'd sort of booked the date, and in 36 hours out from the shoot, I find that the male model has pulled out and not told anybody. Great. So Yeah, so after much frantic searching and not having any luck finding a male model, we ended up casting a second female model, and so we had this two girls as a, you know, a vampire and victim thing, which was a lot of fun. And I got in touch with a demolition crowd here on the Central Coast, and managed to get access to a house that was about to be demolished. And I've got to say, if you are looking to do a shoot, give this a go. You know, ring some demolition companies, tell them, you know, that you want a demolished house to shoot in. I mean, it obviously depends on the type of shoot you want to do, but the great thing about it, we were able to make as much mess as we liked. We could punch holes in the wall. We smeared fake blood all over the walls and spilled it on the carpet, and we didn't have to pay for any damage or anything. We just walked out at the end of the shoot and left the place looking like it was a slaughterhouse. It was fantastic, because the very next day the house was being knocked down. So yeah, if you decide you want to do something dark and macabre like that, contact a demolition company and see if they'll let you use the house. I mean, it cost me a case of beer, so what, you know. But a lot of fun. But the reason I tell this story is because I took the images after I'd come home and imported them into Lightroom. I then, you know, pumped out some JPEGs and dropped them on my phone, even though they're unedited. I thought, I'll just leave them on my phone, because it sort of, I don't know, call me weird, but I like to look at my photos every now and again and just go through them. And I thought, well, you know, the unedited ones, I can sort of sift through them on the phone and look at the ones that have got potential and, you know, decide how I'm going to process them. And I was at work and had to go and talk to one of the program directors, and got talking to him, and I had to go and talk to him about some work stuff. But I had my Samsung Galaxy Note, which if you're not into tech, the Galaxy Note is quite a huge phone. It's a 5.3-inch screen. It's like they colloquially refer to it as a phablet. It's a cross between a phone and a tablet. Anyway, I had it in my shirt pocket, so you know, the top of it was sticking out of the pocket. And Charlie, he's a bit of a, you know, technology fiend as well. And so I've walked into his office, and you know, we talked about what we had to talk about, and he sort of pointed at my breast pocket, and he's gone, "Are you still liking the Note?" And I went, "Oh, mate, love it," you know. Anyway, I pulled it out, and I said, "Oh, I'll show you the photos, you know, from the shoot I did on the weekend." And so I said, "These are straight out of the camera. I haven't had a chance to edit these or whatever." So he's flicking through this vampire shoot, and he's going, "Mate, these are amazing." So we're having a good laugh and a chuckle about the two girls and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, he says to me, "What would you charge to do a shoot for Mikey and Emma, who are the brekkie team for one of our Sydney radio stations?" And I said, "Well, look, you know, it would depend on what was involved, what the style of the shoot was, blah, 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 blah." And he said, "Put together a theme and, yeah, and put together a quote for me. Tell me what it would cost." And I went, "Okay, sweet." So, you know, they don't have a budget. That's nothing new for this place. So that's something I've got to work on. I've come up with a theme, and I ran the idea of the theme by him, and he absolutely loves it. So now I've got to find a location. So for anyone who's in Sydney, we all know that the Dunlop factory is now out of bounds. That's been shut down. And we know that the tram sheds at Harold Park are now gone. Does anybody else know of another good industrial looking environment, even a like a warehouse that's not being used, that, you know, maybe we would have to pay, you know, a small fee to rent it, you know, something with graffiti on the walls and that looks a bit, you know, derelict, that kind of thing, along the lines of the two aforementioned locations? If anyone's got any ideas, please give me a yell, because I'm looking for something like that. There was one other thing I was going to mention, now I can't think what it was. Oh well, couldn't have been important. It'll come to me as soon as I hit stop recording, and so it'll just have to wait until the next episode. All right, so that will have to do it for this week. Like I said, won't be here next week, so I'll be up in the tropics enjoying myself, working, but enjoying myself. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audio2you.com.